says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and we ought to praise him today. Amen. I know God has been good to you. I can tell by your smiling faces and the joy that you have in your hearts and the blessing that you've come here today. And in fact, you did not come to get a blessing. You came and brought a blessing, because the Bible says, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so again, we thank God for the wonderful grace that he's given us and blessed us with today. I want to thank the praise team and also our musicians, Kevin and Randall. Thank you so much for blessing us one more time. And for those of you who are watching online, I pray that God is blessing you right now as well, because God has been and God is good to all of us in spite of. Amen. He looked beyond our faults. And what did he see? He saw our needs. And today I'm glad that we serve a God who's able to see everything about us. He knows us through and through. And I'm glad about it. And we praise God today for the blessings of life and health and strength. Well, we're going to go ahead and get right into the word today and share with you the thought that God has placed on my heart. Started reading the little book, and from that I gleaned some principles that I would like to share with you today about Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel, and we're talking about the subject from the inside out. From the inside out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, once again, we are thankful that we have this privilege to study your word together. You have brought us together for such a time as this because you have looked beyond our faults and you know desperately what our needs are. You know what our needs are. And out of desperation, we call upon the name of Jesus, the name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And Lord, we pray once again that you would take your powerful word, your clear word, your excellent word, that you would make it clear to us so that we can leave out of here with marching orders to know what is our next step. Father, we've gathered today because you said where two or three are gathered, you would be there in the midst of them. And so today, Father, we celebrate and thank you for your presence even now. Angels that excel in might and strength, your Holy Spirit power. And we thank you again for saving us out of darkness and bringing us into this marvelous light. We praise you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen and amen and amen. Looking in the Bible in Daniel chapter 6, just for a moment, Daniel chapter 6, and it should be on the screen. You can read with us, Daniel chapter 6, and beginning with verse 1, I have the New King James, but we're going to look at the King James Version of the Word of God. The New King James Version, I have it, but you're going to have the King James. I want to look at both of them together as we look at God's Word. The Bible says in verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. The word of God says, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. Daniel was the what, everybody? Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3. And the Bible says, then Daniel was preferred. Daniel was what, everybody? Preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the Bible says, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That's what the King James says. If you don't mind, let me read the New King James. It's not much different, but it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. And the word of God says in verse 3, then this Daniel, in the New King James, it says he distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The Bible says that he had an excellent spirit. And I recognize today that there's something different about people who have been set aside and distinguished by God. It doesn't happen by accident. Promotion doesn't come by coincidence. It comes because of something that took place in the life of the person way before they ever hit the stage. there was some private time that they obviously spent with God that somehow when it comes time to stand before people, they are able to do so because God smiles on them. His favor, his anointing. And I would dare say it's nothing like walking in God's favor. It's nothing like having God's anointing on your life that somehow distinguishes you and sets you apart. You don't mean to be different. You don't want to stand out and be peculiar or different. But it's something about a child of God. When you start doing God's will and walking in God's word and living in the light. And as they said today, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When God's word is obeyed, something happens to the believer. Something takes place that is considered a miracle. However, when we begin to walk in the light and live in the light and obey the voice of God, God begins to distinguish us, not because we are better than anybody else, but because God has placed inside of you an excellent spirit. Now, you may say, well, I'm struggling sometimes. I'm up and I'm down. Sometimes I'm in and I'm out. Sometimes I find the world and its influence affecting me. I find the problems that I deal with, somehow I succumb to them. Well, I want to begin by simply saying, yes, the world is real and the world has its influence and it does have an impact on us. And the Bible says that we ought to be in the world, but not of the world. And we're facing some things that we have never faced before in our generation. We are living in a time where we're going to need a special anointing. We're living in a time where we're going to need God's power to live through some of the turbulence time that is about to come. Amen. I don't know about you, but the world, with all the things that's happening around us, things that are happening in pop culture, things that are happening in our government, things that are happening in our world. And even just the other day, they said they had an earthquake up in Atlanta and Nashville, somewhere in Tennessee. The Bible says that in the last days, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Things are starting to happen now in rapidity like we've never seen them before. And I want to remind us today, it's going to get worse and worse, but Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In other words, he says, your redemption draweth nigh. Look up one day. I'm glad about it that he shall come. And when he comes back, he's coming back with his reward, and it shall be with him. You know, I just want to pause here and say the world has its influence, and we must live in it. And because we're in the world and we're not of the world, that there's things that we have to do. You got to live. You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to go through problems and situations. In fact, Maslow said that it's almost like a hierarchy. There's some needs that we have in our lives that is almost precedent that us need. In other words, there's a physical realm that we live in. And we must recognize that. And sometimes it's difficult because life can sometimes get hard. And, you know, we become distressed and we become discouraged and we become despondent. But there's some things that we all need in life. And some people are not getting even the basic needs in life. And so in order to really be complete, there's certain things that you need in your life to complete you. And you must recognize that. And I know you do. In other words, there's some physiological needs, which is simply food and water and warmth and rest. We need to eat. We need to rest. They say if you don't get enough rest, it can tear down your immune system and you can age prematurely. In other words, if you don't get enough food and you don't want to get too much food, amen. Some people eat to live and some people live to eat. In other words, sometimes you eat more than you want. Remember growing up, your parents tell you your eyes are bigger than your stomach and you get all that on your plate and you don't eat it all. And however, they'll tell you that people over in other countries, they would eat that food. And sometimes you would dare open your mouth up and say, why don't you send it to them? And then you'd find yourself getting up off the floor, waking up saying, what happened? Well, we all have basic needs. We all have needs in our lives, need for safety. We all need money. People say money is not money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not the problem. We all need money. Amen. People say, well, and being broke doesn't make you pious, by the way. Amen. Some people think the broker you are, the more holier you look. No, Kevin would tell us that that's from the spirit of the devil, from the pits of hell. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. And so we need money. Money is not everything, but somebody told me it ranked right up there with oxygen. So breathe. Money determines where you eat. It determines what you wear. It determines where you live. It determines how you're going to make it. These are some basic needs in this world that we are wrapped in this skin. We need esteem, self-confidence, and respect, and excellence, and accomplishment. We need boldness. You need to feel good about yourself. You need to know, and at the top is self-actualization. You need to have self-esteem. You need to know that you are somebody. Personal growth, that I'm a child of God. You ought to feel bad about it. I mean, when you step out in the morning, you ought to feel good about yourself. And if you don't feel good about yourself, get with Coach Lisa. She'll help you. Amen. You ought to be able to know that I am a child of God, wrapped in the glory of God, created in the image of God, walking like God. I ought not feel embarrassed. You are not an accident. You are not a biological mistake. You are designed by God, created in the image of God. But I want you to understand that there is more than just this need. There is what is called a spiritual need. Now, you can make sure you take care of everything in life, but if you miss this need, you will not be fulfilled. You'll never be happy. You'll have camouflage misery. You'll look good on the outside, but you'll be missing something on the inside, because you were created, and inside of you, there is a vacuum that only God can fill. Only God can do it. I'm going to tell you right now, only God can. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much food you have. I don't care what kind of house you live in and what kind of car you drive. Basically, and bottom line is this: I need Jesus. I need God in my life, because you were made for God. We said that the last time I was here. We were designed for God, by God, in the image of God, placed under fixed laws and principles to live out God's word, live out God's law. So there is a need, and we need Jesus. Amen. We need the Spirit of God. We need to be able to walk like him and talk like him. In other words, the Bible says that once we come to know him, as it is our privilege. Well, Ellen White says this: once we come to know him, as it is our privilege to know him, our life will be what? A continual life of obedience. Wouldn't you like that? I don't know about you, but personally, I'm tired of being in the river and on the bank. Now, I'm a preacher myself. I'm tired of being inconsistent with God. If I ever got consistent with God, I could reach heights that I have never seen before. If I would ever make my mind up and decide to do God's will like I've never done it before, I'll have spiritual breakthrough. There'll be things happening in my life, in our lives, that we have never seen before. It almost like want to whet your appetite. When I read the Bible and see Bible characters, what they pulled off and what they did, I almost want to ask, what was your secret sauce? What was it about that? In other words, I know I'm made for God. I know I need God. But you know, I want to do my own thing. I want to kind of live my own life. I want to kind of make my own shots. But I realize that even when I do that, I'm still not happy with myself. I'm not complete. I feel that there's something missing, because it is. And I know today, brothers and sisters, I know today that the only way a person can be fulfilled is when they know Jesus. The Bible says it this way: no one can come to him unless he draws you. And the fact that he's drawing you means he wants you. And as Ricky said today, the fact that he wants you, he has a calling on your life. And when he called Isaiah, he simply said, woe is me, I'm undone. And I recognize the closer you get to God, the more undone you're going to feel. Oh yeah, so if you feel like you're unworthy, that's great news, because you're in proximity to the Master. The closer you get to God, the less you should feel about yourself. And the more you get close to him, the further you away from him, it's easy to look at other people and point the finger at them and talk about how bad they are. But when you are a child of God, drawn into the closeness of God, you want to help somebody else, you want to bless somebody else, you want to lift somebody else. But the question then is, well, how do I become that? I like it, because today, just for a moment, I'm not going to keep you long. Daniel gives us some insight. The Bible says this brother had an excellent spirit. In other words, he had a spirit that excelled. He had a spirit that went outside of the norm. It was something different about Daniel. There was something about him. Might have been his upbringing. Might have been his parents when they recognized he was a gifted child. And the word of God says, raise up a child in the way he should go. And when he's older, he will not depart from it. Maybe he put an anointing on his life. But whatever it was something that distinguished him, set him apart. Whereas he went through three different empires, Babylon, Media, Persia, and still, when the smoke clears, he's still on top. In other words, it didn't matter what job he went to. It didn't matter what office he walked into. He always had the ability to rise to the top. It didn't matter what team picked him. It didn't matter whose side he was on. He always had something special about him that shone out that made him different. He distinguished himself. And I believe the first thing as Christians, we got to understand the process of what God is calling us to do. In fact, I was reading, like I said, and I love this statement here. If you don't mind, let's look at this. Let's look at this together. You are not to do things to become a Christian. Now, I want that to marinate. You are not. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean? You are not to do things. See, we're putting the cart in front of the horse. We're trying to do things to become a Christian opposed to becoming a Christian so that we can do things. Let me say that again. If you don't get anything, if you get this one statement today, you've got the message. In other words, you are not to do things to become a Christian. We can't earn salvation. We cannot merit God's grace. We cannot earn it. It's freely given. It's the grace of God that he offers us freely. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pull ourselves up our bootstraps. We don't have to let go. We don't have to stop doing something. Kevin said it earlier today. In other words, he said, I am a person that's a financier. I know what to do to help you get on track with your money. You don't get yourself together and then come to me if you got financial issues. You come to me with your financial issues and I can get you on track. That's the same way the gospel is. Jesus says, you don't have to get yourself together. You can come to me and I will get you together. Ain't that good news? Because sometimes people look at us and think we've got some special elixir. What did you do so that you could become a Christian? You all think you all of that. No, all you did was you took a step of faith to believe that God can help you do what you cannot do yourself. E.E. Cleveland said it this way, I've seen God do so much for so many for so long with nothing that now I can believe he can do something with nothing, meaning me. Amen? Do you believe that today? You got to believe that. He said it earlier. You've got to believe that God can fix your life. You got to believe that God can turn your life around. You got to believe that when you come in here, the fact that you came today means you still believe it. The fact is you still here. And if you just keep walking by faith, the door will keep opening. And he says, I'm not going to show you the journey. I'm just going to give you step by step. Day by day, moment by moment. I only wish I could have something else. Well, you are not to do things, again, to become a Christian. When I read that, I kind of like, wait a minute. But the second part cleared it. You are to become. You see, in other words, this is a formula, and I will give it to you early. If I would become a Christian, I would do what a Christian need to do, and I would have what a Christian have. See, in other words, I want to have without doing, and I want to do without becoming. Can I say that again? See, that's the problem. See, I want God's joy. I want to be able to say, bless the Lord, all that's within me. I want to be able to have a peace that passeth understanding. I want to be able to walk right. I want victory over sin, but I don't want to do what I need to do because I haven't become what I need to become. And I'm struggling trying to do because I haven't become. See, a car doesn't have a problem being a car. Once it's a car, you get in it and it drives. In other words, your chair didn't have a problem holding you up because it's already a chair. In other words, you don't need to come do something. You need to become something. And if I could become that, something would happen in my life. Something would take off supernatural. If I could become that. So I'm in my own way. I'm holding myself up. What is it? What was it about Daniel? How did Daniel get an excellent spirit? That's what I want to ask you today. How did Daniel have this excellent spirit that distinguished him to the point where he got promoted because of something inside of him? In fact, when they would capture all of these
Hebrew children in other nations, according to Babylon, they would put them in their school and train them to be leaders. And Daniel excelled to the point where he is now not only over the 120, but he's over the 3 because he distinguished himself. And they got upset. Let me tell you, number one, when you become excellent in spirit, folk gonna hate on you. Are you ready for haterade? Are you ready to be talked about? Are you ready to be just, you know, people gonna talk behind your back and gossip? But let me tell you something. You're gonna be the first person they come to when they need prayer. Because they see something in you. They recognize you have an excellent spirit. They recognize you don't talk like everybody else. You don't laugh at everybody, the jokes that everybody make. You have a spirit about you. How did Daniel get this spirit? Well, in other words, in this book, you got to recognize there are 4 things that Daniel did that caused him to have an excellent spirit. Can I share those with you just for real quick before I let you go? In other words, he did something. He didn't come by chance. Nothing happens by chance. There's cause and effect. In my life, I'm getting what I'm getting because I'm doing what I'm doing. And if I don't like what I'm getting, I got to stop doing what I'm doing. And see, insanity is I want something different, but I don't want to do different. I want something different in my life, but I want to keep doing the same old stuff. I got to change my modi operandi, my mode of operation. In other words, maybe it's some people I need to stop hanging around with. Maybe it's some movies I need to stop watching. Maybe it's some conversations I need to stop. I don't know what it is in your life, but I can tell you right now as a living witness, God already showed me in my life what I need to do. Personally, and I think the Holy Ghost just walked down your door, knocked on your door, rang the doorbell, came in, sat in a chair and told you, you know, too. We all know the Holy Ghost will bring revelation, what it is, that speed bump in your life that you got to get over. He will show you, but I can't deal with the speed bump. I can't deal with the world. I can't deal with the outer until I deal with the inner. I got to deal with the inner. And I want to deal with that today. I want to help us understand, what did he do? Daniel, how did you do it? Daniel simply said, it started right this. Now, it's going to be on the inside. Now, I had it animated so that it'll go one by one, but let's start on the inside. He started from the inside out. The first thing Daniel did, he did what, everybody? He purposed. Have you made your mind up yet? The hardest thing about being a Christian is making up your mind, by the way. See, once you make your mind up, there is something about the power of God that will begin to challenge you to do the right thing. Once you make your mind up. And in fact, it's like going swimming. You can say all day long, I wonder what the water feels like. You won't feel wet until you jump in. It's almost like eating good food. You won't feel what it feels like until you do it. Daniel, first thing he did was he purposed in his heart. He made his mind up to do something. He had a resolve. He said, I'm selling it right now. I'm not turning back. I'm not letting go. Something inside of him said, I'm going to do this. And I believe right now, you and I are going to have to do this in a world that's gone mad if we want an excellent spirit. Living in the environment that we're in, pressure is going to come, and if I don't have something on the inside to neutralize the pressure on the outside, we're going to collapse. Daniel did not fall. Daniel did not feel the heat. In other words, he was able to withstand in Babylon because he had an excellent spirit. His excellent spirit came, number one, because he had purpose. Purpose. See, sometimes I'm meandering along through life. I don't know and I don't understand, but I want you to understand. You heard me say it before. There's a purpose on your life. And when we can figure it out, when we begin to understand our gifts, our passion, and our style. Let me say that again. I can begin to figure out my purpose when I understand my gift, and that tells me what I should be doing with my life, and my passion tells me where I should be doing it, and my style tells me how I'm going to do it. When I fall in line with the Creator's intent for my life, then I'm on purpose. See, I'm not on purpose until I fall in line with God's creation for my life. When God created you, he had already in mind an intention for your life. I believe that. He already had something in mind for each person. So your giftedness tells you your what, and your passion tells you where, who you should be working with. Is it children? Is it adults? I mean, who is it? Is it the church people or non-church? Where is it? When you find that purpose, because I heard someone say, and I'll say it again, I'll say it over and over again because I believe it. Purpose puts you on point. And if you know your purpose, you halfway to victory. You halfway there. How do you know that? Because purpose gives you the guideline. It's like your GPS. It tells you what you should be doing. And one thing about the God I serve, he's never going to ask you to do something without the supernatural ability and the power to do it. He always going to show up and show out and give you supernatural power to work through your life. And all of a sudden you'll stand back and you'll be amazed at what God's doing, because God says, get out the way and let me just flow through you and bless you. But you've got to let me do that. When you understand the purpose of your existence, you'll let God have his way in your life. I want you to know that right now. Purpose. And this is what I heard Miles Monroe in his book. He says, when purpose is not known, you heard me say it before. You heard me say it. You should know it by heart now. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Humanity, brothers and sisters, outside of purpose, are abusing themselves. And abuse comes from two words: abnormal use. And you're going to see stuff breaking out. You see it already in the news with people using themselves in abnormal ways. And I'm not going to walk down that lane and open up that door. But you know what I'm talking about. Stuff in social media. People's lives are hitting the fan. And somebody who sat on the couch told another brother, in 2025 and 2024, stuff is going to start coming out. Why? Because if you don't have something on the inside to neutralize life pressure on the outside, what will happen? You'll collapse. And I'll show you that in a minute. So he has purpose. See, when he had purpose, he said he purposed in his heart. Notice, he said he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And then after purpose, once you know what it is you need to do, then you need what? Prayer. Prayer is not something that twists the arm of God to do what you want him to do. God is too big for that. If God answered all of our prayers, we'd be in trouble. I don't know about you, but I know I would. But you say, what about the prayer that I asked the Lord to just give me a little bit more money? How can I get in trouble with more money? Well, because if you're not treating the money you have already, what makes you think more money going to help you? In other words, they say when you get more money, you got more problems. And the only reason you got more problems is because everybody who think they're your cousin going to come out the woodwork. See, so in other words, money won't solve my problem. However, when I understand my purpose and I begin to do what God asked me to do, then I've got to be connected to God through prayer. And prayer is lining yourself up with God to recognize your insufficiency. See, in other words, prayer says, God, I can't do this on my own. Prayer is saying, God, I stretch my arms to my hands to thee. There's no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where else can I go? See, prayer is saying, I am insufficient. I am not enough. I need God in my life. And humanity, to do that takes a miracle, because we're so full of pride. We're so full of arrogance. We're so full of ourselves that we don't want to humble ourselves. But the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, God says, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land and forgive them their sins. But I've got to be able to humble myself. You know, God is attracted to humility. When you recognize how broken we are, broken you are, and say, Lord, I am nothing without you. Prayer is opening the heart to God as to a friend. And the pen of inspiration says, why are we so reluctant to pray when prayer is a key in the hand of faith that will open up heaven's storehouse where all of the treasures of God are stored? He says, I'm waiting. Prove me now here with God. God says, I double dare you to trust me. I triple dare you to call on my name. And I'm so glad when we call on the name of Jesus, he says, I'll answer before you call. Prayer is simply talking to God. And that's what Daniel did. I like Daniel. See, Daniel not only purposed in his heart not to defile himself, but Daniel also had a prayer life. Now, let me ask us a question. That's our own personal inventory. You don't have to stand up and speak. No testimony. How is your prayer life? See, I ask myself again, if I do what I need to do, I'll have what I need to have. Maybe I'm missing a point because I'm not doing all that God is asking me to do. Maybe I have not prayed like I should pray. Lauren O'Harris, I miss my time with you. I mean, how often do I miss that time with God? Am I really seeking the Lord, not just to help me get out of trouble, not just to help me feel better, not just to make ends meet, but a relationship with God is what prayer creates. When I begin to pray, he says, I want a relationship with you. I want to talk with you. And then when you begin to have this relationship with God, what God does, he begins to give you what is called perception. Psalms, the 32nd division, verse 8 says, I will teach you and guide you with my eyes. See, the problem I know with me, I keep making bad decisions because my perception is off, because the Bible reminds me there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I keep making decisions based on my wants and not based on God's will. I keep walking in steps and things because I feel a certain way. And God says, don't live on feeling, live on faith. Are you trusting me? Are you willing to take this Bible? I mean, think about it. If we would take the word of God and live by it completely, can you imagine how your life would change? I know you say you're doing it, but what trouble are you having? Am I fully committed to God's word? Am I really fully committed to leave the culture of what people think and say and devote myself, put my head in this book and say, God, thy will be done, not my will. Jesus said, I've come to do the will of God. Are you willing to do that? That's where the rubber meets the road. When I pray and ask God for the power, I'm not asking God for power to get anything other than closer to him. And the closer you get to God, you begin to see what God sees. And when you see what God sees, you begin to pray the prayer that Jesus said. In other words, I do nothing of myself. What I do is only what my Father desires. Can you imagine when your heart comes in sync with God's will to the point where you say, I'm not praying prayers for myself, but I'm praying to glorify the name of God. I'm praying to glorify the name of Jesus. It's not what I want. It's not what I think. It's what God wants in my life, in my surroundings, in my community, on my job, in my neighborhood, in my church. What is it that God wants to do through me in my immediate proximity? Who does he want to bless? My wife, my husband, my children? Who does God want to bless in my proximity? In other words, God says, I want to use you. And if you could see what I see, then you would do what I want you to do. That's why in John chapter 5, one day Jesus was taking a stroll. And he strolled up by the pool of Bethesda. And he saw a man there lame for 38 long years. The man couldn't get up to help himself. Jesus walked by, had a conversation with him, and after talking with the man, Jesus said, Do you want to get up? The man said, yeah, I would love to get up. He said, well, get up. First, he made an excuse. I don't have anybody to help me in the water. Don't we do that sometimes? I don't have anything to wear to church today, so I don't know. I wore this last week. How many excuses do I make when God asks me to do something? How many things do I bring up that God can? In other words, Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? The man said, yes. And finally, Jesus said, get up and walk. And the man got up after 38 years of being paralyzed. He got up. The man jumped up, grabbed his mat, started praising God. But it was on the Sabbath. And you know somebody saw him, Pharisee, Sadducee. They say, sad, you see. They're not fair, you see. But they saw him walking with his mat on the Sabbath, and they wanted to, they were coming at him strong. And who did this? Who told you to do this? Jesus said, I don't know who did. I don't know his name. All I know is, he said, get up. I don't know a lot about the Bible, but all I know is I once was lost and now I'm found. I don't understand the theology. I just know I don't eat what I used to eat. I don't live the way I used to live. I don't know how it happened, but it was a miracle. Do you know who did it? I don't know. But then finally Jesus came back, had a conversation with him, and then he could identify it was Jesus. And then now after they knew it was Jesus, the Pharisees got on Jesus. Can you imagine getting on the life giver? Getting on the provider, the protector. And they were so upset with Jesus. And you got to read this in John chapter 5. And this is what Jesus says. You all are getting on me for what I did. But let me tell you my secret. And this is what he said. I don't do anything other than what I see the Father do. That's perception. So the reality is, Jesus is saying, this is my cue. I watch to see what the Father is doing, what he's up to, and I join him in the activity. In other words, I don't do what I want to do. I watch to see what God is doing. So you got to be able to pray and ask, what's the move of God? Where is God moving? What is God calling me to do? What is it in this season that God is putting on my heart? See, that's what you need, spiritual perception. You need to be able to see. And that's what Daniel was able to see. Daniel, even in captivity, was able to see it because he purposed, he prayed, and now he has perception. He doesn't make the decisions other people are making. He's able to stand alone. He's able to be single. And it's sometimes hard to stand alone when you're a young person or an older person in a world gone wrong. It's hard to make decisions that's going upstream against the current when you know everybody's going this way and you're trying to go this way. It takes tenacity. It takes strength. But what you need to understand is that once you go through all of this, you have then, lastly, power. 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 See, but if you could hold on long enough, stay purposed long enough, pray long enough, see long enough, you have enough power to pull off what you need to pull off and what you're confronting in your life. That's a promise. You'll get power. See, that's what Daniel did. Daniel was able to be on point. He had an excellent spirit because all he did was follow the formula. He had purpose, he had prayer, he had perception, and then God gave him power. He trusted him with power because he had a prayer life. He trusted him with power because he had a purpose. He trusted him with power because he could see this is the way, walk in it. And whenever I could get on point with God and be able to get purposed with my life, and when I ever be able to start praying to God, not my will, but your will be done, God will then give me perception. I'm going to show up tomorrow by a well. And when you show up, I'm going to use you to talk to a woman who's been looking for love in all the wrong places. Jesus knew that through his prayer life. So he wasn't there hanging out by accident. He told his homeboys, the disciples, I'm going to go by the well. Y'all go on and go get some food. And while he was standing there, a woman of Samaria came. And she said, what's up? Jesus said, just can you give me some water? I'm a little thirsty. And the woman said, well, wait a minute. How is it you being a Jew asking me for some water? Well, Jesus said it this way. If you knew who it was asking for water, you'd be tripping over yourself trying to get my water. But it wasn't the kind of water that she was used to because she had five husbands, y'all. It wasn't that kind of water. Now, come on now. It wasn't that kind of water. In other words, Jesus said, the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. You'll never be needy. How did he know to be there? Prayer life, perception. How did he know the need to be walking in a crowd and a woman have issue of blood would come up behind him and touch him? Prayer life. How did he know to show up on the road of the on that road and be able to heal that man that was born blind? And Jesus gave him. Jesus had a prayer life, and because he was on purpose, prayer, and perception, Jesus had supernatural power and supernatural anointing that you and I could have access to if we find our purpose. I'm not talking about meandering and guessing. I want you to begin praying, God, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And then begin to pray, God, because see, it has to be from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why it's from inside out that this thing is pulled off. Once I get centered, once I get focused, then I'm able to do this. I'm almost finished. Notice the cause and the effect. Purpose and prayer is the cause. Perception and power is the effect. That's natural. Remember, I told you the last time I was with you, God placed us under fixed laws. That's why I'm glad you're not just floating up. Gravity is consistent. I'm glad that what goes up comes down. I'm glad that the Bible says, when it says you reap what you sow. So, in other words, the Bible says what goes up come down. Stop throwing up rocks maybe and throw up some feathers. You're trying to get busted upside your head. Throw up feathers. And so, in other words, there's cause and effect. The prayer life and the purpose of a person is what causes us to have perception and power. If I could get focused, this is your assignment. This is on each one of us. Nobody can manipulate you. Nobody can legislate how well you do this. But I declare, when like Daniel, who had an excellent spirit, promotion will come as the byproduct of me doing the formula. I don't have to push myself for it. I don't have to say, hey, me. The Bible says your gifts will make room for you. Somebody going to recognize you've been with Jesus. Somebody going to recognize you've been with God. Somebody going to say, wait a minute, that's not a spirit that's normal. You don't talk like everybody else. You don't sound like everybody. There's something about you. I need that excellent spirit, God. I want to be able to walk into a room and be able to know that that excellent spirit is shining through me, and somebody recognize, not for me, but for the glory of God. You want to give God the glory, and that's why, my brothers and sisters, when we do this, this is what's going to happen, and the center is from the inside out. Once I make my mind up that I'm going to enthrone Christ in the center of my life, I'm on the right road. Have you done that? See, that's humanity. I told you Maslow said we need food and we need shelter and we need self-esteem and we need self. Yeah, you need that to exist on this plane right here. But to exist on the vertical, you need the spiritual. And the spiritual means that if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. And if Christ is inside of you, Christ gives you power to deal with what's on the outside of you. I don't have to work from the outside in. I've got to work from the inside out. Have you done that yet? Is Christ inside of you? Is he dominant? Is he work number one? Not just something else to do, but is he your affectionate Savior? Do you love him more than anything else? The Bible says it this way: as the heart panteth, thirst for the water brook. Does your soul pant for God like that? Is it I can take it or leave it? See, I need that appetite. As the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. God, I really don't have that appetite. God, you have blessed me so well that I'm so comfortable with what I have. I don't really need to move from where I am, so I'm just good. But when God begins to take stuff away and begins to allow things to happen, and we see things happening, then we have to press into the presence of God. Then we're going to really want God. Then we're going to want to seek him. And he says, seek me while I may be found. Jesus needs to be the middle and the center of our lives. How do you fight this good fight of faith? You fight it by simply letting Christ inside. Because see, the thing about it is there's light and darkness in every one of us. There's light and darkness. As high as a person can go spiritual is as low as a person can go fleshly. I mean, there's no depth to which we will go and stuff we would do. I mean, humanity can do some crazy stuff. And it's inside of us. We're born with it. The only thing why we're not doing it is the grace of God, kept by the power of God. The reason why I'm not running around doing some dumb stuff is not because I'm afraid I might not get caught, but it's because of God's love constraineth me. It's the power of God. You need to rejoice when you walk out of here and say, I'm so glad that God's power and anointing is available for us. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter where you come from or your background. But from the inside out, I can fight the good fight of faith. I can keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling. I can put God first in my life. I can trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not in my own understanding. I can know now if I ever get purpose and I begin to pray and he will give me perception and I'll have power to live for him, but it starts from the inside out. You see, my brothers and sisters, as I close, the goal of the Christian, simple. The goal of the Christian is becoming. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's becoming. If I could ever just become. See, the reason why it's hard to love folk, maybe I'm not a Christian. I didn't say you. I said maybe. I'm not a Christian yet. See, but when I become a Christian, I can love those who despitefully use me. Right now, I'm struggling. Oh, yeah, I can confess. There's some folk, man. And when I said that, you thought about some people too, didn't you? Because I heard somebody say, yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the struggle. In other words, God is going to put something there or allow it to be until we become purposed. Whatever it is that you got to deal with in your life. If we will become that Christian, and we will become that, and that, you know what, becoming that Christian, what it will do, it will give us power to say no. See, the reason why I don't have power to say no yet is because I haven't become a Christian. The reason why I keep giving in and keep giving up is because, see, on the inside, something inside of me is not right yet. It's almost like this bottle here. You see, the problem is we were all born empty. We showed up empty. In fact, we showed up DOA, dead on arrival, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. All of us showed up empty with nothing inside of us. And if you don't understand that, I remember growing, watching my children grow up in Christmas time. You buy gifts, and it's nothing like getting home with those gifts. Sharon, you get those gifts home, and some of them you open up, and the kids start playing with them. But before they can play with it, immediately they notice you read this, batteries not included. That's the worst thing that can happen Christmas Day. I mean, because see, everything is closed. And them kids going to bother you until you make some batteries. They're going to be fussing with you. I mean, batteries not included. Don't you know we were born, batteries not included? We don't come on until something happened. We didn't have it in birth. We didn't have it when we showed up. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So I'm born empty. Now watch this. This is so simple. Now this bottle collapses, not necessarily because I sucked the air out, but it's because when I did it, the air on the outside became so much more powerful than the air on the inside, and so the bottle collapsed. That's what happens when you don't have something on the inside. We collapse. Don't have the power to say no to a world of sin. And the devil's design, and this world is designed, because he's the prince of this world, is to cause you to lose your mind and collapse under the pressure of life. Because we're all going through something. I promise you, everybody going through something. But it all depends on what you have on the inside that's going to determine whether you keep your mind or not. It determines whether you'll be happy or not. It determines whether you have joy or not. So I ask you, what is in the inside of us? Daniel had an excellent spirit. And you know what that means? Daniel had the power and the spirit of God in his life to the point where while he was in Babylon, he could say, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I'm not going to eat this. Why? Because I've got greater is he that's in me than this stuff that I'm going to settle for. God put something inside of us when you became born again. His spirit now lives inside of us. And that spirit is simply God's power and God's grace to say no. Notice what the Bible says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. That's what God offers us today, right now, brothers and sisters. God offers that. And notice what it says. This is the last text. But Jesus, you receive power. How many need power today? I don't know about you. You're going to need power. When you leave out of church today, after all the good singing, and I hope after some good preaching, you got power. At the end of the day, I hope you got power. And that's up to us, you. You see, when you have that power on the inside, now the difference is there's nothing I can do to this bottle. Nothing. If I try to suck this one, I die. Because it's already full, and it's not going anywhere. It has what it needs on the inside to deal whatever is on the outside. That's why it says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, the only harm the devil can do to us is the harm we do to ourselves by not neutralizing ourselves with a greater force on the inside that gives us power to deal with the pressure of life. Daniel had that. Daniel had that. He had an excellent spirit. And notice, how do you get it? You repent. I'm sorry, God. I want to walk the way you want me to walk. I want to walk. I want to talk the way you want me to. That's how you do it. It's no secret. When they were pricked in their hearts, they said, what must we do? And when we become saved, the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us. And he comes inside of me to live. And that's why the Bible says, know ye not that you are a temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Aren't you glad about that today? I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got assistance and help. I'm glad I don't have to do this on my own. And I'm so encouraged to know that even when I mess up, and I have, even when I'm jacking up, that's present tense. Not I have. Some people say, well, I used to. What if you still are? There's hope for you. But the question is, have you become Jesus' purchased price? I mean, does he own you in the sense of you've accepted him as your Savior? I'll just close with that prayer. Anybody here? You're outside the ark of safety. You need to say yes to God. You need to say yes to the Lord. If you covered, great. If you covered, those online, there's a QR code you can, number you can see, and you can call in, write in, or whatever. If you need to make that call in election, sure, that's the only way you're going to be at one with God, at peace with God. I want to have that peace. Do you want to have that peace today? Why don't you stand with me? If you want that peace, stand with me so I can pray over you. If you want that peace today, you want that excellent spirit. You want that spirit that works from the inside out, that's going to help neutralize some stuff that's about to come your way. I don't know what it is. I'm not a prophet. I just know this. We all got to fight the good fight of faith. We all going to be faced with some stuff in our life. And the only way you're going to manage it, what's on the inside? If you got Jesus and you got the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God, it will neutralize the stuff that's about to come. That's what I need. And see, one thing about it, you can't determine what's going to come. That's up to God. What he allows, and whatever he allows, he makes provision. I'm praying for you now, Father. Oh, Lord, today we understand that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And because of that, Lord, he was promoted. He prayed. He was purposed. You gave him perception and you gave him power. Lord, for those of us who are standing, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you would give them that same anointing in their lives so that they too, we together, can experience that excellent spirit. Lord, we can't do this without you. We know we can't. So we lean on the everlasting arm of Jesus Christ right now, asking for your power to be released into our lives, our family, our friends, our loved ones. Lord, we pray today for them, but today specifically we're praying that you would give us an eye single to your glory and that we would let you rule, rest, and abide in our hearts and that we would humbly submit to you and give you right away in our lives. For those individuals who are standing and those who are watching online, Father, I pray that you would give us an excellent spirit and help us to understand, Lord, we just got to get purposed, make our minds up, become resolute. I'm staying, I'm not going, I'm not running, I'm not hiding. My mind is made up. And then I'm going to begin to pray, call on the name of Jesus. Father, I need you. I need you now. We need you. And then, Lord, as you give us perception to show us how to walk, give us power so we can walk that walk. And then at last, when you shall come, I pray, God, I beg, God, that you would deliver us from this evil world. Save us in your kingdom when you come.
And we know you're even at the door. So we thank you and we bless you and we love you and honor you and we celebrate you. Until you come, Father, keep us faithful in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. People of God said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you.